We're back on Healthy Rounds. I'm your host, Dr. Anthony Alessi. And today we're going to, as always, we're going to take all of your health questions. Let me give you the numbers again, 860-522-9842 and 1-800-966-9842. You can also use *9842. But we want to hear from you if you have questions, general medical questions, and especially today, my guest is Dr. Bruce Strober. Dr. Strober is an assistant professor of dermatology at UConn. We're going to talk about skin conditions and psoriasis. He's also director of clinical trials, so we'll have some discussion about future treatments of psoriasis. Bruce, welcome to the show.
My pleasure.
Let's talk a little bit. First of all, let's jump. You know, everybody knows about psoriasis, probably from the commercial that always said the heartbreak of psoriasis. And yet it can be a real heartbreaking condition when we think about it. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about the scope of the problem and some of the things involved with psoriasis and what it is?
Well, as you said, it's very common. 3% perhaps of the U.S. population is affected. It's a skin condition that appears really anywhere on the body. Primarily, people will relate it to their elbows, their knees, and the scalp. But anywhere on the body is fair game for the appearance of a psoriasis plaque, which is usually a red or maybe a pink raised plaque that often has overlying scale. It cracks. People perceive psoriasis plaques as sometimes very itchy or often painful, and of course disfiguring, especially depending where on the body it appears.
Is it something, how do they get psoriasis, first of all? Is it contagious? You might see somebody with psoriasis, have a loved one. I mean, if you hold their hand, are you going to get psoriasis? How does it come about?
Well, it should be emphasized that psoriasis is not contagious. It's really thought to be an inherited predisposition. In other words, you obtain the genes from your parents, and your genes give you the likelihood of getting psoriasis. But it's also not enough just to have the genes. It's thought that somewhere along the line during your lifetime, you're exposed to something in your environment that kicks it off, and that's probably some type of infection, maybe a bacteria or a fungus. And often you don't even feel like you have that infection. We call that, you know, subclinical. You don't have symptoms. You're not sick. But it's enough to kick off the psoriasis, which most importantly should be emphasized is a condition related to your immune system. Your immune system inappropriately being turned on in the skin and making those plaques.
Is it seasonal? Some people say they see it more in winter, see it more in summer. Is it a seasonal condition?
Probably for 3 out of every 4 patients I meet, they'll relate that psoriasis improves during the warmer months of the year. Probably because psoriasis does better when there's more humidity, and as well when there's more sunlight. And when your skin is exposed to sun, generally psoriasis is less apt to form in those areas.
Can you just have psoriasis, or is it usually part of a bigger rheumatologic or other autoimmune problem?
Most people who have psoriasis will not relate to you. They have other problems. But we've learned through very careful epidemiologic research that people with psoriasis often can have other coexisting conditions like what's called psoriatic arthritis. That's probably 1 in 5 to 1 in 3 patients with psoriasis have arthritis of the joints. And then even fewer might have inflammatory bowel disease. And even fewer might have a disease of the eye called uveitis. So we believe psoriasis goes beyond the skin in many of these patients.
We're taking your questions here on Healthy Rounds. The number is 860-522-9842. On line one, we have Linda from Wallingford who has a question about psoriasis. Linda, welcome to the show.
Hi. I just recently had the psoriasis develop last year, last winter, and it's only on my feet. And my doctor prescribed a vitamin D cream and the steroid cream, and she was going to have me do the ultraviolet, but I didn't opt to do that yet. It did clear over the summer. My feet were like amazingly fine. And I'm just wondering, what are the chances that it's going to come back this winter?
Is it on the bottom of your feet or on the top of your feet?
It was mostly on the bottom, although I did get like a rashy look on the top, too, where it was very itchy. But the open, deep open sores were mostly on the bottoms of my feet and along the sides.
Bruce, what do you think?
Well, first of all, it's very common that psoriasis appears on the feet and on the hands, and often in both locations in the same person, but they don't have to be in both locations. Psoriasis, it should be emphasized, is incurable. So while the treatments we give often are effective, in general, people have what we call recurrence, even after being cleared. So it's a high probability that your psoriasis will return at points during your life, and at other points, it'll go away with good therapy. So yes, I'd have to say it's something you might have to live with for a while.
What do you think about the treatment that was recommended?
It was entirely appropriate. The first line of therapy for people with psoriasis is topical creams and ointments, and she mentioned two very commonly prescribed types of drugs. One is a vitamin D-type drug, and the other is a cortisone-containing. And then she stated her doctor wanted to use what's called ultraviolet light, and that really is a very effective approach if you have the time for the treatment of psoriasis anywhere on the body. Ultraviolet light being given in a clinic or in an office environment, not natural sunlight, so to speak.
Linda, thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. On line two, we have Rick with a question about skin tags. Rick, we have a couple of minutes. Let's get this one in there. Rick, welcome to the show.
So thanks for taking my question. Question is, I have, as I get older, these little tiny skin tags around my neck. And they're not huge, but they some of them can be a little irritating. They rub up against my clothing and whatnot. And I've heard of a home remedy of putting nail hardener on them. Have you heard of that or any other home remedy working, or what's the best treatment?
Well, skin tags are very common, and it's probably effective in some people if you put any of your home remedies on. I don't recommend necessarily taking your own initiative and doing it yourself. There are risks of treating skin tags, and that would be primarily skin infection. They're very easy to treat in the office environment. Dermatologists treat all the time. They can be snipped off. They can be frozen. But probably your home remedy only involves, you know, just killing the cells that make up the skin tag and having it fall off, and probably a hardening agent will do that just fine. I just can't recommend it, not having ever done that.
Rick, thanks for your call.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. I think one of the things we always get into is with home remedies is infection. And I've seen that in athletes where they'll tear a skin tag and it'll get infected and become a much bigger thing. You're listening to Healthy Rounds. We're taking your calls at 860-522-9842 and 1-800-966-9842. You're listening to WTIC News Talk 1080. We're back on Healthy Rounds. I'm your host, Dr. Anthony Alessi, and in the studio we're talking to Dr. Bruce Strober. Dr. Strober is a dermatologist specializing in psoriasis, but we're taking, as always, all of your health questions and especially dermatologic questions today. The phone number here is 860-522-9842 or 1-800-966-9842. I also want to encourage you to email me during the week if a question comes up, either a general health question or if you have a dermatology question that you didn't want to come on the air with. My email is aalessi, that's A-A-L-E-S-S-I, at wwbh.org, and I will get that question answered for you, and I'll get it over to Dr. Strober. On line one, we're going to take a question. We have Madhu in Rocky Hill. You have a question for us?
Yes, please. First of all, thank you so much for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Yes, appreciate it. I have a question regarding my son. He has some skin eruptions under his right knee, which look like warts. And my question is, are they contagious and how can they be treated?
Well, if they are indeed warts, it's important to know that warts are caused by a virus and are spread from person to person. And very commonly, children get them. And therefore, you have to consider warts as contagious. The other issue is warts can be hard to treat, and there are many different approaches. But many of those approaches can be successful. Often a dermatologist will freeze a wart in the office, and that's usually using something called liquid nitrogen, and maybe more than one treatment is necessary. But there are a variety of other approaches, and it depends on the dermatologist you see and where the wart is located on the body as to which approach is chosen.
Okay. His primary care physician said that sometimes if you choke the warts, you know, you put either like a nail polish remover or some kind of like a glue, that can also help. And without, you know, trying that, I just wanted to kind of like find out, should I just go ahead and try that or should I just see a dermatologist?
You know, I always would recommend you first see a dermatologist. Number one, because it might not be warts that's affecting your son and you want to have a diagnosis. But number two, again, home remedies are something I don't encourage because you could almost be putting yourself at increased risk instead of lowering your risk by doing it that way.
I think that's a little dangerous, Madhu. But listen, thank you for the call.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
It seems like the field of dermatology is being taken over by nail hardener. And since we've had two calls with that home remedy. But I want to get back to psoriasis from the standpoint that what's the effect of psoriasis on other organs?
Well, as I said earlier, psoriasis can appear as affecting not only the skin, but also the joints and the ligaments, and that's psoriatic arthritis. But a newer concept is people with more severe psoriasis, psoriasis affecting a large part of the body, more than 5 to 10%, have increased risk for cardiovascular disease, specifically heart attacks and strokes. Usually it affects only severely affected patients, and between the ages of 20 and 65 are the ages we think about. So there's more research about cardiovascular risk affecting psoriasis patients, and most importantly, lowering life expectancy. People with more severe psoriasis tend to live on average about 5 years less than people without severe psoriasis.
How young do you have you seen psoriasis in?
Well, it is very often seen in children, and I've treated quite a few patients in the range of 8 to 12 years of age, teenagers more commonly, and then people in their 20s most commonly. So it appears most commonly in the teenage years and in the 20s, but young children get it, and unfortunately often they're misdiagnosed, and they're told they have eczema or some other condition. If they're seen by a dermatologist, sometimes that diagnosis is correctly rendered.
Let's touch on the difference between eczema and psoriasis.
It's a very big difference. What underlies eczema is entirely different than what underlies psoriasis. The treatments can be similar, especially with the topical medications. But eczema is much more of an infant and young childhood disease. Most people with bad eczema are under the age of 5, and then they grow out of it. And psoriasis affects older people, primarily older children and young adults. And the whole approach to the treatment has a different paradigm, as we say. So it's important to distinguish between eczema and psoriasis when you're treating patients with skin conditions.
Do you differentiate based on a biopsy?
Usually, eczema and psoriasis don't require skin biopsy. Dermatologists are trained to recognize the differences simply by the appearance on the body and where it's located on the body and some of the symptoms.
Online, too, we have Barbara from Granby who has a question for us. Barbara, welcome to the show. Thanks for listening.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Over the summer, I noticed just a little dot, like a blemish appear on my lower lip. You know, and a couple people noticed it, and at first I thought it was just an age spot or something. I'm 53, you know, and I thought, oh, here we go. But my primary care physician said, no, it's not an age spot, and I should have it looked at. But is this common? Do you have any clue what it could be?
Well,
somebody told me it was melanoma, which, of course, has me panicked.
Right. Well, don't panic yet. The first thing you should do is see a dermatologist because many different things can appear on your lips and they're not at all putting you at risk. On the other hand, I encourage patients who develop new spots or moles to go to the dermatologist and have those moles evaluated, especially on a regular basis, because you never know. And while it's very, very unlikely that spot on your lip is going to be a problem for you, you shouldn't take things into your own hands and say whether or not it's a big deal or not. You shouldn't deny its importance. You should see the dermatologist and just have it evaluated.
Yeah, I am going in a couple weeks, but I just thought I'd get your opinion too. So
great. Okay. Well, that's why we're here. Thank you, Barbara.
Okay.
Thanks for
appreciate
the call.
It. Okay.
We're chatting about psoriasis. I want to get Dr. Strober's contact information out there if you wish to schedule an appointment. He sees patients at UConn at 860-679-4600, and he specializes in psoriasis. And we're going to talk next up. We're going to chat a little bit about some of the new treatments of psoriasis, specifically monoclonal antibodies. You're listening to Healthy Rounds on WTIC News Talk 1080. We're back on Healthy Rounds. I'm your host, Dr. Anthony Alessi. We're in the last segment already. We've had so many good questions already about psoriasis and skin conditions with my guest, Dr. Bruce Strober. One thing I want to tell everybody, we've heard the weather report's going to be bad. Please, I say this every time, but please don't go out and just start shoveling this because I get busy. The emergency room, we start seeing more strokes, heart attacks, back injuries. Please, if you're elderly, you have any medical condition that really should prohibit you from extreme exercise, don't go out and shovel this heavy, wet snow. Believe me, it will cause a lot of heartbreak. So specifically, just let it melt. This is going to melt. It'll pass. And get someone, a neighbor, a friend to help you out. Back to our topic today of psoriasis. Bruce, one of the things I remember most about psoriasis is I worked at the Ann Arbor Veterans Hospital when I was in training. And our floor, we shared our floor on the ward with dermatology. So we had neurology patients, dermatology patients. And that's almost a misnomer, seeing an inpatient dermatology patient. But there were so many patients there, veterans, who had severe psoriasis. And they'd apply this tar solution. I mean, it smelled like an asphalt plant. I think I had a toxic exposure or something. And they'd wrap them in plastic, these sweatsuits that were made of heavy plastic. And it was, you really felt bad for them. And they were there for weeks at a time. What happened? Was that effective treatment, or are we kidding ourselves with that?
Yes, that was a very effective old approach to psoriasis. It's very rarely done currently. There are a few centers still that do this, but mostly it's not done because it requires at least a three-week inpatient stay at a hospital that does it. It requires very skilled nursing, and simply put, insurance doesn't pay for it anymore. And I would say it's very antiquated because we have medications and approaches that equal it. And are much easier for patients.
One of the things, I guess, you know, having inpatients in dermatology, I don't expect you spend a lot of time in an emergency department.
Very rarely, except to do consults for people who walk into the emergency room with very severe skin conditions.
Do you have inpatients?
Well, there are inpatients in dermatology. It's a dying concept because for the most part, dermatology can be handled as an outpatient setting. In the clinic, you have a visit, you're given a prescription or some sort of therapy, and you go home. But certain hospitals still maintain, and it's rare, inpatient units that have just dermatologic patients. Again, the challenge is you don't have nursing that's specifically trained in dermatology, and that is absolutely required.
Really?
Yeah, because the specific needs of skin disease require specific training that nurses just trained generally aren't apt to do.
Let's talk about some of the more modern treatments aside from tar. We hear a lot of things. Let's go through some of the – we've heard about some home remedies. But the idea of seawater being good for psoriasis, get to the beach, get to the salt water – is that true or not true?
It's not exactly true. It's only true in as much when you're near seawater, you're getting good sunlight. And most of the therapeutic effect of being near a beach is you're getting good sunlight. The sun contains ultraviolet light. Ultraviolet light clears psoriasis. Now, certain areas of the world, like the Dead Sea in Israel, are known to clear psoriasis really well. And that's probably because the salt in the air, which is very high at the Dead Sea, refracts the sunlight in a very specific way that makes psoriasis clear even more quickly.
So that's like the lords of psoriasis if you go to the Dead Sea.
That's correct. Okay. You go to the Holy Land. And even there's certain countries in Europe that will pay for patients to go to the Dead Sea as part of the healthcare plan.
Wow. Okay. Let's get that on the plan. Diet and lifestyle.
It's really a misconception that diet and lifestyle in general bring on or worsen psoriasis. And I can't emphasize that enough because people with psoriasis think they brought it upon themselves. And you're not to blame if you have psoriasis. It's your genes and something you came into contact with that brought it on, and it was really just bad luck. The most important dietary issue I would emphasize is keep your weight down, because if you weigh a lot more as a psoriasis patient, you're harder to treat. And secondly, alcohol. It probably worsens the degree of psoriasis you have if you drink a lot of alcohol, and many patients will relate this. But otherwise, specific elimination diets and gluten-free diets are not consistently effective. And therefore, just eat in a healthy manner and keep your weight down.
In this week's New England Journal of Medicine, there's a feature article about the use of monoclonal antibodies, and specifically brucinumab. And I think I pronounced it correctly, but can you tell our listeners about monoclonal antibodies, kind of in general, these biologicals, because we talk about them in relation to cancer and other autoimmune problems and how it relates to psoriasis?
For the last decade, we've had biologic therapies for psoriasis. There are currently 5 approved biologic therapies for psoriasis. And I won't be over-exaggerating by stating they have revolutionized our practice. Biologic therapies have changed the lives of people with psoriasis. If your insurance pays for these drugs and you're medically appropriate to receive them, they're very easy. Generally, they're injected under the skin as small needles. It's usually painless. If there's a little pain, it's brief. And it's infrequent. You get the injections maybe every week or every other week. There's a drug that's given every 3 months. And the next 5 years is going to see a number of new drugs of the same ilk, injectable biologics, that are well tolerated by the patient. They don't have side effects. Risks are small. Not to say you don't need monitoring, but they're much easier to use these drugs for most people than our older oral medications that we relied upon in the decade previous.
We have a question on line one, so let's get to Norma. Norma's from Newington and has a question about psoriasis. Norma, welcome to the show.
Hi. I've had psoriasis about 20 years. I'm grateful I don't have it on any place that people can see it, but it's usually around the waist area, front to back, and now is spreading a lot in that same area. I've recently tried 2 different prescriptions and no relief, except one of the prescriptions, like last year, was effective in a few days, was clearing it up, but nothing's effective now. Are you familiar with the handheld light for treatment? I saw it demonstrated on television on a doctor's show.
Well, there is a handheld unit that's sold by a company. It emits ultraviolet light, which is what I said earlier, very a therapeutic approach to light therapy and treatment of psoriasis in general. Handheld units, in my experience, are not as effective as units that are upright and just sort of fixed machines in your house or at the office. There are home light therapy units, and they are very effective for many patients. So the handheld unit, if it's not too much of an expense for you or your insurance covers it, and you use it diligently and safely, as per the direction of a dermatologist that you see regularly, you can be very satisfied with. So I can't dissuade you from doing that, but make sure you're under the guidance of your dermatologist when you do this.
Okay, no. Can I ask you one other thing?
Sure.
I know it was recommended the light treatment that's at UConn, but that's not convenient for me. Is there any local place that does it that would be covered by insurance?
I can't speak to your specific area where you live, but often there are local practices that have ultraviolet light units. They're fewer and far between now for a variety of economic reasons, and thus light therapy is becoming less and less convenient for your average patient. You just have to simply go to the psoriasis.org website, psoriasis.org. That's the National Psoriasis Foundation's website. They have a physician directory embedded within the site that will tell you which dermatologists in your area provide ultraviolet phototherapy.
Thank you.
Norma, thank you for the call.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bruce, it's been great having you as the hour winds down. I want to let everyone know contact information for Dr. Bruce Strober, 860-679-4600. And Bruce, thank you again for coming. I hope you'll come back.
My pleasure. I'd love to come back.
You've been listening to Healthy Rounds. I want to thank my guest, Dr. Bruce Stroger. Also, we want to give it as a token of appreciation from Healthy Rounds. He'll receive a copy of my book, Healthy Sports, A Doctor's Lessons for a Winning Lifestyle, courtesy of Backus Hospital. Tonight, I'm going to be at the Connecticut Boxing Hall of Fame. If you're at Mohegan Sun, come on by and say hello. And there'll be several fighters, local fighters, being inducted into the Hall of Fame. You can also receive a copy of my book by going to alessimd.com. Many thanks to our studio producer today, Eric Peterson. Amy Ashton is in charge of sales and marketing for Healthy Rounds. Next week, we're going to be preempted by football.